Today's recording is sponsored by Mo Sror, Moshe Chaim ben Esther, in honor of the complete healing, the Refuah Shleima, of his grandmother Yofa Bas Simcha and his cousin Moshe ben Rochel. May their family merit to hear good news very soon. In the language of psychology, Carl Jung writes as follows: there is little hope of our being able to reach even an approximate consciousness of the self, since however much we make conscious, there will always exist an indeterminate and undeterminable amount of unconscious material which belongs to the totality of the self. The self, the totality of the self, is completely unknowable, undeterminable, because no matter how much we make conscious, we'll never really get to the essence of the self. And yet, Carl Jung was all about the need to search for the unconscious, and as much as possible trying to fuse the unconscious with the conscious. As he writes in another place, that is also the reason why our time has become so utterly godless and profane. We lack all knowledge of the unconscious psyche and pursue the cult of consciousness to the exclusion of all else. Jung is saying the fact that we've become so alienated from the divine, from the deeper pursuit of higher realms, is because we've entered a cult of the consciousness, possessed by only consciousness. And indeed, we have to try to get to the unconscious as much as we can, although it is unknowable. In the language of philosophy, Immanuel Kant, in his Critique of Pure Reason, ruled that the self, noumena, the actual self as is, can never be known, for a subject cannot know itself as object. Or as Kant writes, the unity of consciousness, which underlies all the categories of perception, is mistaken for an intuition of the subject as object. This subject cannot be known, for in order to think it, its pure self-consciousness must itself be presupposed. Philosophically, Kant says it's a solipsis to try to be able to discover and think the self, because in order to think, you're already presupposing the self and consciousness. But Hegel disagreed with Kant, and Hegel writes in the Phenomenology of the Spirit, a self having knowledge purely of itself, this pure ether as such is the very soil where philosophy, science flourishes. The beginning of philosophy presupposes or demands from consciousness that it should feel at home in this element. But this element only attains its perfect meaning and acquires transparency through the process of gradually developing it. In other words, Hegel said that this self as is, which Kant said is philosophically impossible to reach, Hegel demanded that philosophy journey towards that ether, that sky of the pure soil of self, and by a gradual process of developing it, reach the self as is. In the language of poetry, from Emily Dickinson, there is a solitude of space, a solitude of sea, a solitude of death, but these society shall be, compared with that profounder sight, that polar privacy, a soul admitted to itself, finite infinity. However much you think space, the sea, death are solitude, they're society, they're lots of company, they're crowded compared to a profounder privacy, a soul admitted to itself, finite infinity. The search for the ultimate self is infinite, and yet that infinity is within the finite being of self, finite infinity. And obviously Dickinson is implying that a real true person is one who makes that journey of a soul admitted to itself. And in the language of Chassidus, Chassidus comes to explain the verse in the Song of Songs, Chapter 6, verse 12, Lo yadati nafshi samasni markaves ami nodiv. A very difficult verse to translate. Three possible translations. Before I was aware, my desire set me among the chariots. I didn't know what was happening to me. I felt like I was in a chariot. And oh, before I was aware, she sat me in the most lavish of chariots. And Chassidus explains in many places that the lo yadati, I wasn't aware, before I have awareness, I did not know, the lo yadati is what makes us a chariot for God, is what allows us to set God in us in the most lavish of chariots. Or as the Alter Rebbe explains at the end of Tanya chapter 18, that God illuminates and animates the soul in that aspect of Chochmah of the soul which is beyond any graspable and understood knowledge or intelligence. It's specifically that aspect of the essence of self which cannot be known, lo yadati nafshi, where God's infinite being dwells. And based on all of these psychological, philosophical, poetic, and Hasidic explanations, we understand the need to, as much as possible, journey to the innermost box. Just like the Ark of the Covenant had three boxes, a gold layer on the outside and a wood layer in the middle and a gold in the inside. We have to know that inside who we are, the golden center of ourself, of our being, which we cannot know. We're only aware our personality is the wooden box in the middle. But inside, the ultimate self, a soul admitted to itself indeed has finite infinity, has God. And therefore, we have to make our external box also gold. We have to think, speak, and act according to the way our essence is, and not necessarily according to what our conscious personality is, the way we feel. And therefore, even if we're crying and tears are running down our face and we suffer so much in this life, we know we have the ability to clap our hands and sing and dance, freilicher, 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 happier, 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 because we know that ultimate reality is the essence of who we are. And as Hegel said, we have to feel at home in the element, in the pure ether of the self, which we have to make transparent through the process of gradually developing, becoming more in touch with it. Because when Mashiach comes, we will all be chariots of the divine. She sat me in the most lavish of chariots. Let's begin sitting God in our chariots today, and thereby preparing ourselves for that revelation of Mashiach.